Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. As is often the case with a well-familiar piece of Scripture, such as the Good Shepherd Discourse, we know this particular pericope well, but we don't know nearly so well those things that surround it. And since we don't know the context around it, we naturally fill in and imagine a context in which to insert this teaching. With the Good Shepherd Discourse, I think we often imagine a pastoral scene. Jesus on the rolling hills of Galilee, surrounded by his disciples, when he begins to teach them about his love for them, that he is the Good Shepherd. And along with that, we get the image of Jesus as the shepherd who likes to cuddle his sheep, play with them, and frolic with them through the hillside. But as is usually the case when we fill in our own context, it is almost entirely wrong. Jesus is not in Galilee, nor among the rolling hills, nor among the flocks of the literal sheep of Israel. He is in Jerusalem, the capital city right outside the temple. And his teaching on his being the Good Shepherd is in response to the Pharisees. And in this we see the significance of Jesus' self-designation, I am the Good Shepherd. Now the Greek word here for good is the word kalos. Kalos means good, right, or fitting. It means true, beautiful, and accurate. It means competent, good for you, and worthy of praise. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says, and by this Jesus pronounces judgment on the false shepherds of Israel and makes an exclusive claim for himself against all others who might claim to be shepherds. He alone is the true shepherd of his sheep. If anyone else is called a shepherd, whether that be the rulers of the people or pastors in Christ's church, they only bear that name in a derivative sense, as under-shepherds of Jesus, the true shepherding king. And their authority is always subservient to his. And let us not pass by this proclamation of our Lord Jesus' identity and miss its significance. The kings of Israel and the religious authorities had long been called shepherds. And in the biblical narrative, as just said, that was understood in the sense of under-shepherd. Some were good, who nobly served the will of the shepherd for the good of the sheep. And some corrupt, and from reading the Old Testament, we might even say most were corrupt, not protecting and serving the sheep, but fleecing the flock for their own profit. But these shepherds were only types and shadows of the true shepherd, who was God. God alone, Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, the redeemer of Israel who had brought them out of Egypt, he alone was the shepherd of his flock. And here Christ unambiguously takes that title upon himself, saying, I am the good shepherd. I am ego eimi. That is the Greek translation of the divine name given to Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am is how we usually render it in English. I am the good shepherd. And good, that little word kalos, God alone is good in the full sense of that word, in the absolute sense that is as it is used here. Men and women are only good in a derivative sense, insofar as they participate in God's goodness. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. That is, I am Yahweh, God Almighty, the only true shepherd of his sheep. But it is only Jesus' sheep who will hear him and know it to be true. I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. Right before this discourse, Jesus has just healed a blind man, and that miracle's significance is not lost. The man himself who was healed of his blindness testified to the Pharisees, his Pharisaic inquisitors, never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. There are many miracles, great and small, fantastic and more mundane, good and terrible in our sight that God worked through his prophets of old. But never has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. This it was prophesied that only the Messiah could do. For the physical ailment of blindness from birth was a physical sign of a spiritual reality, a physical sign of a spiritual thing. Only the light himself, come to overcome the darkness, could open the eyes of those born in the blindness of sin. Only the light of faith could make the blind see. Only the Messiah, the shrew, the true shepherd, God himself in human flesh, could do this thing. The physical healing being the sight, the sign of the spiritual work. And Jesus says that he has come for this purpose. For judgment I came into this world that those who do not see me, for judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. To this the Pharisees responded, "Are we so blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." The Pharisees do see. They have seen him heal a blind man, and being the teachers of the scriptures, they know precisely what that means. And yet they still do not believe. And so they are judged in their unbelief by their seeing blindness. They have eyes to see, and yet they do not. And it is upon this proclamation of judgment against the Pharisees, those corrupt shepherds of Israel, that Jesus begins teaching, saying, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Christ alone is the shepherd of his sheep. He knows his flock, and they know him. They are his own because they have been given to him by his Father from all eternity. And as the good shepherd, he is not the cuddler of sheep. He has not come to frolic with them in the hillside, but comes with staff and crook in hand to seek out the lost, those who are his by right, but have wandered away from the fold, and he has come to vanquish their enemies. The good shepherd does not come to cuddle the sheep, but to slay the wolves. And in this we see what makes him the good shepherd. He is not good merely in the moral sense. He certainly is that. He is sinless. But he is the good shepherd because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The hired hand, the mercenary shepherd, does not care for the sheep because they are not his own. The true shepherd protects his flock precisely because they are his own. You, being closer to the earth as farmers and raisers of animals, or at least knowing well someone who is a farmer or raiser of animals, knows this better than most of urban America. They, the sheep, are his pride. His name is upon him. His honor and his name are tied up with his flock. Indeed, we are his flock, and his name is upon us in holy baptism. We bear his brand and mark, and we ourselves are his pride and joy. Our wool, namely the fruits of our faith and good works, bring glory to his name, and he will not suffer our loss. When the wolves, the dark hounds of hell, the powers of sin and death surround us, he does not flee. He did not flee, but laid down his life for the sheep. He overcomes the wolf by filling the wolf's mouth with his own body, and thus saves the sheep from being lost. The good shepherd did not flee from the enemy. He stood our ground for us, in our place, and he allowed the devil to do his worst to him. He suffered all the accusations of our sins. He met that all that justice could demand. He fulfilled the law. He was put to death. He died and was buried. He was left for the worms. But that death defeated death, and death was filled by life. Death could not hold him any longer. Death swallowed a man and found itself bursting with life, with God, with life himself. 3 days later, death spit out our Lord, for he is risen. And death was never to kill a sheep again. Jesus lives, and no one who believes in him ever dies but has eternal life in his name. And make no mistake, the Good Shepherd does this all on his own accord. Sin, death, hell, the wolf had no power over him. He says, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You are his sheep for whom he laid down his life. In this he is your good shepherd. You are gathered here in his fold, here at Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church. But he says to you, even as he said to those in Jerusalem, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. In the original context, he is speaking to the Jews who would believe in his name. They are the sheep of his flock for whom he goes to die. But he lets them know that he does not die for them alone, but that there are others. The Gentiles, all the peoples of the world, not included in Old Testament Israel, they too are his. They are his sheep for whom he lays down his life. And in his death and resurrection, the gospel will go out to the world so that they too might be gathered into the one holy flock. No longer will there be Jew and Gentile, but there will be one flock, the true Israel of God, under one shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. In our context, though, we can apply these same words in a different manner. We here are his sheep, but there are others. Others in our communities, even within our own families, who have not yet been brought into his flock. But they are his, and they will listen to his voice, so that they may be with us in one flock under our one good shepherd. And so it is incumbent upon us to make the shepherd's voice known, to proclaim to our friends and our neighbors and even those in our own families the gospel, that the good shepherd has come, that he has laid down his life for the sheep, and he has risen victorious from the dead, so that they may hear his voice and know him, know his name and believe upon him, and thus receive the spiritual healing of their inborn blindness, and know that he is the Lord and be saved. Amen.